Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program of news and stories from around the world is designed for people learning English. So, we speak a little slowly, using simple sentences and a limited vocabulary. Today, I talk about the two most popular movies in America at the moment, and the one that could replace them at the top. We also listen to a short segment of What It Takes, a podcast from the American Academy of Achievement. The subject today, astronauts, Sally Ride, and Eileen Collins. And we close the show, as always, with an American story. Today we hear The Last Leaf by O. Henry. But first,
Brazil's Indian Foundation has released a video that shows images of a man believed to be the last surviving member of his tribe. No one knows the man's name or that of his tribe. It appears he has lived alone in Brazil's Amazon for 22 years. The video is from 2011. But officials say they last saw evidence he was alive in May. The man is cutting down a tree in the shaky video shot from a distance through trees and other leafy plants. The recording includes sound of his axe hitting the tree and bird calls. Altair Aguiar leads the team of investigators that observed the man. He said the foundation was unwilling to release the video earlier because it could not ask for the man's permission. But he also noted that such images help to bring attention to people who struggle to keep their distance from the outside world. Aguiar spoke to the AP by phone. He said, "Lots of people are seeking out this video. They want to know, what is he like? How can he be seen? Is he still alive? I think that ends up helping to protect the territory." Brazil is home to several native groups that are not in contact with other peoples. Their land is increasingly under threat, as is the land of natives in contact with the outside world. Many outside groups fight over the Amazon's resources. Last year, 71 people were killed in conflicts over land. Brazil's Pastoral Land Commission keeps records on the violence. It says 2017 was the most violent year since 2003. The Indian Foundation began its observation of the man in 1996. It found him living alone in the forest in Rondônia State. The foundation believes farmers and loggers repeatedly attacked his tribe beginning in the 1980s. It suspects the last members were killed in an attack in 1995 or 1996. But the foundation said, in recent years, no one has tried to enter the protected area where he lives. Aguiar said the team that tracks him calls him the Indian of the hole because of an unusual hole that he dug. He added that the man appears to be in good health and between 55 and 60 years old. The foundation's policy is to let such people live their lives separate from the rest of civilization. but members worried he was in danger because he was alone. They made contact in 2005. The group says he made clear at that time that he wanted no contact, so it made no further attempts. A team enters his territory to look for signs that he is still alive about every other month. The last time they saw him was in 2016. But they are able to tell he is still alive by evidence he leaves behind. The team found fresh footprints and a newly cut tree in May. They have left tools and seeds for the man. They have seen that he has planted corn, potatoes, papayas, and bananas. In a statement, Alguer said, "This man, who is unknown to us, even after losing everything, proved that, even like that, alone in the forest, it is possible to survive and resist joining mainstream society." I'm Jonathan Evans.
It was a battle of two very different sequels in American movie theaters last weekend.
First time to Turkey?
No. Long time ago. Different life.
Now you come back?
Yes. I'm looking for something.
You can find whatever you wish in Turkey.
How about a man who kidnapped a little girl from her American mother?
We'll not be looking for such a man. Will be dangerous for you.
Men like him would think that.
The action film, The Equalizer 2, narrowly won out over the musical Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Equalizer 2, starring Denzel Washington, was the top film at the box office over the weekend. It sold about $35.8 million in tickets and earned director Antoine Fuqua the biggest opening of his career. The first Equalizer came out in 2014. It went on to sell more than $190 million in tickets worldwide.
I have a dream. Song to sing.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm pregnant, but I don't know how to do this by myself.
Your mother is the bravest person we ever met.
Look at my baby.
Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, finished second. It is a follow-up of the 2005 film Mamma Mia, a musical based on the songs of the 1970s Swedish pop band ABBA. Here We Go Again took in $34.4 million. Interestingly, movie experts had correctly estimated the sales difference between the two film openings, but they were wrong about which film would lead. Most had predicted Mamma Mia 2 would come in first by around $5 million in ticket sales. Women by far ruled the audiences for Mamma Mia screenings. About 83% of the Mamma Mia crowd was female. Equalizer 2 brought in an audience that was about 58% male. Both movies had big stars. Washington has won Academy Awards for lead and supporting roles. And three-time Oscar winner Meryl Streep returned to her role in Mamma Mia. Another big name in Hollywood, singer and Oscar-winning actor Cher, also had a role in the musical. It was a rare opening showdown of two star-driven films that targeted two very different audiences. Now the question is, what will happen this weekend? The much-talked-about Mission Impossible Fallout, starring Tom Cruise, opens across America. Will this sixth film of the series appeal to audiences that might otherwise go see Equalizer 2? Or will it take a bite out of Mamma Mia 2's target audience? We asked VOA movie reporter Penelope Pulu for her thoughts on the possibilities.
Pretty much, if we are going to talk about skill and direction. If we're going to talk about what the audiences prefer, I don't necessarily consider it mutually exclusive that the audience is going to go to Mission Impossible and not the other two films. Actually, I'm more inclined to say that the audiences are going to be split between Mamma Mia and Equalizer more so than how Mission Impossible is going to play. Mission Impossible is a creation of its own, a phenomenon of its own, because it was born out of the series that many middle-aged people remember from the television, and it was very imaginative and interesting, so a lot of people want to revisit that genre. I think Mission Impossible is already riding very high.
There's no official scientific scale, of course, that measures risk tolerance. Not that I know of. If there were, I'm pretty sure I'd be near the bottom. But even if you're the kind of person who thinks of yourself at the upper end, I'm going to guess that the two people you're about to hear from have got you beat.
I've been a bit of a risk taker all my life, not always in the traditional way of defining risks, but you know, it was probably when I was growing up, it was probably risky for a young girl to decide to be a scientist. You know, it was probably even when I was in college, risky for a female college graduate to go on to graduate school in physics. And certainly going on to be an astronaut was taking a risk.
That's Sally Ride. On June 18th, 1983, she became the first American woman in space. And this is Eileen Collins, who stood on Sally Ride's proverbial shoulders and became the first woman to pilot the space shuttle and then to command it.
When I went to summer camp, I would watch the gliders fly overhead. They would launch off the hill, they'd fly over the valley, and they'd come back and land. And I was just fascinated with the gliders, and I knew that someday I wanted to maybe do that, maybe fly. But I knew it was expensive, and I knew that, you know, it's not the kind of thing that a young girl aspires to do. Back in those days, you were going to be young girls would be a teacher, a nurse, or a stay-at-home mom.
This is What It Takes, a podcast about passion, vision, and perseverance from the audio archives of the Academy of Achievement. On this episode, Sally Ride and Eileen Collins talk about what led them to the highest of heights. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a smooth ride.
You can find the whole podcast on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. Now it's time for The American Story, The Last Leaf by O. Henry. Here is Barbara Klein.
Many artists lived in the Greenwich Village area of New York. Two young women named Sue and Johnsy shared a studio apartment at the top of a three-story building. Johnsy's real name was Joanna. In November, a cold, unseen stranger came to visit the city. This disease, pneumonia, killed many people. Johnsy lay on her bed, hardly moving. She looked through the small window. She could see the side of the brick house next to her building. One morning, a doctor examined Johnsy and took her temperature. Then he spoke with Sue in another room. "She has one chance in, let us say, 10, he said. "And that chance is for her to want to live. Your friend has made up her mind that she is not going to get well. Has she anything on her mind?" She wanted to paint the Bay of Naples in Italy someday, said Sue. "Paint?" said the doctor. "Bosh! Has she anything on her mind worth thinking twice? A man, for example?" "A man," said Sue, "is a man worth..." "But no, doctor, there is nothing of the kind." "I will do all that science can do," said the doctor. "But whenever my patient begins to count the carriages at her funeral, I take away 50% from the curative power of medicines." After the doctor had gone, Sue went into the workroom and cried. Then she went to Johnsy's room with her drawing board, whistling Ragtime. Johnsy lay with her face toward the window. Sue stopped whistling, thinking she was asleep. She began making a pen and ink drawing for a story in a magazine. Young artists must work their way to art by making pictures for magazine stories. Sue heard a low sound, several times repeated. She went quickly to the bedside. Johnsy's eyes were open wide. She was looking out the window and counting backward. 12, she said, and a little later, 11, and then 10, and 9, and then 8 and 7, almost together. Sue looked out the window. What was there to count? There was only an empty yard and the blank side of the house 7 meters away. An old ivy vine, going bad at the roots, climbed halfway up the wall. The cold breath of autumn had stricken leaves from the plant until its branches, almost bare, hung on the bricks. "What is it, dear?" asked Sue. 6, said Johnsy quietly. "They're falling faster now. 3 days ago, there were almost 100. It made my head hurt to count them. But now, it's easy. There goes another one. There are only 5 left now."
5 what, dear?" asked Sue.
"Leaves on the plant. When the last one falls, I must go too. I've known that for 3 days. Didn't the doctor tell you?"
"Oh, I never heard of such a thing," said Sue. "What have old ivy leaves to do with your getting well? And you used to love that vine. Don't be silly. Why, the doctor told me this morning that your chances for getting well real soon were, let's see, exactly what he said. He said, the chances were 10 to 1. try to eat some soup now. And let me go back to my drawing so I can sell it to the magazine and buy food and wine for us. You needn't get any more wine, said Jauncey, keeping her eyes fixed out the window. There goes another one. No, I don't want any soup. That leaves just four. I want to see the last one fall before it gets dark. Then I'll go, too. Jauncey, dear, said Sue, will you promise me to keep your eyes closed and not look out the window until I'm done working? I must hand those drawings in by tomorrow. Tell me as soon as you have finished, said Jauncey, closing her eyes and lying white and still as a fallen statue. I want to see the last one fall. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of thinking. I want to turn loose my hold on everything and go sailing down, down, just like one of those poor, tired leaves. Try to sleep, said Sue. I must call Mr. Behrman up to be my model for my drawing of an old miner. Don't try to move until I come back. Behrman was a painter who lived on the ground floor of the apartment building. Behrman was a failure in art. For years, he had always been planning to paint a work of art, but had never yet begun it. He earned a little money by serving as a model to artists who could not pay for a professional model. He was a fierce little old man who protected the two young women in the studio apartment above him. Sue found Behrman in his room. In one area was a black canvas that had been waiting 25 years for the first line of paint. Sue told him about Jauncey, and how she feared that her friend would float away like a leaf. Old Behrman was angered at such an idea. Are there people in the world with the foolishness to die because leaves drop off a vine? Why do you let that silly business come in her brain? She is very sick and weak, said Sue. And the disease has left her mind full of strange ideas. This is not any place in which one so good as Miss Jauncey shall lie sick, yelled Behrman. Some day I will paint a masterpiece, and we shall all go away. Jauncey was sleeping when they went upstairs. Sue pulled the shade down to cover the window. She and Behrman went into the other room. They looked out a window fearfully at the ivy vine. Then they looked at each other without speaking. A cold rain was falling, mixed with snow. Behrman sat and posed as the miner. The next morning, Sue awoke after an hour's sleep. She found Jauncey with wide-open eyes staring at the covered window. "Pull up the shade. I want to see," she ordered quietly. Sue obeyed. After the beating rain and fierce wind that blew through the night, there yet stood against the wall one ivy leaf. It was the last one on the vine. It was still dark green at the center, but its edges were colored with the yellow.
It hung bravely from the branch about 7 meters above the ground. "It is the last one," said Jauncey. "I thought it would surely fall during the night. I heard the wind. It will fall today, and I shall die at the same time." "Dear, dear," said Sue, leaning her worn face toward the bed. "Think of me, if you won't think of yourself. What would I do?" But Jauncey did not answer. The next morning, when it was light, Jauncey demanded that the window shade be raised. The ivy leaf was still there. Jauncey lay for a long time looking at it. And then she called to Sue, who was preparing chicken soup. "I've been a bad girl," said Jauncey. "Something has made that last leaf stay there to show me how bad I was. It is wrong to want to die. You may bring me a little soup now." An hour later, she said, "Someday I hope to paint the Bay of Naples." Later in the day, the doctor came, and Sue talked to him in the hallway. "Even chances," said the doctor. "With good care, you'll win. And now I must see another case I have in your building. Behrman, his name is. Some kind of an artist, I believe. Pneumonia, too. He is an old, weak man, and his case is severe. There's no hope for him, but he goes to the hospital today to ease his pain." The next day, the doctor said to Sue, "She's out of danger. You won. Nutrition and care now. That's all." Later that day, Sue came to the bed where Jauncey lay and put one arm around her. "I have something to tell you, White Mouse," she said. "Mr. Behrman died of pneumonia today in the hospital. He was sick only 2 days. They found him the morning of the first day in his room downstairs, helpless with pain. His shoes and clothing were completely wet and icy cold. They could not imagine where he had been on such a terrible night. And then they found a lantern, still lighted, and they found a ladder that had been moved from its place, and art supplies and a painting board with green and yellow colors mixed on it. And look out the window, dear, at the last ivy leaf on the wall. Didn't you wonder why it never moved when the wind blew? Oh, darling, it is Behrman's masterpiece. He painted it there the night that the last leaf fell."
You just heard The Last Leaf by O. Henry. And that is all the time we have today. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Hope you will join us then. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.